I'm going to put this on the screen so you can see everywhere we're going. We're going to tell the story of Matthew chapter 21 and 22, and these are going to be the kingdom stories that are given by Jesus. This is the night or the day that he enters into the city of Jerusalem for that final week and the following day. At least part of the day that he enters into the city of Jerusalem and part of the following day. What these are at the beginning of this week is what will be true and characteristic of the entire week, which is what we're reading about now, if you're following the schedule that I'm following. I realize our schedules are all over the place, and so you may be somewhere different. But if you're anywhere close to Matthew 21 and 22, this is what is happening. I want you to keep in mind this. Suppose you knew this was your last week to live. Suppose you were of sound mind, knew completely and fully who you were, what you were about, what you're doing, and you have something to say. And these are the things that he has to say. And as full of mercy and grace as Jesus is, he's not trying to make friends. He makes people angry. As a matter of fact, he makes people so mad, they want to kill him on the spot. But he has something to say. And he says it through these stories and these events. And every single one of them have a single line of thought and purpose running through them. They are all different, but the heart of them is the same. And so here he is as he comes into the city. When he comes in, all of that crowd that has brought him into the city of Jerusalem is shouting. People are coming from everywhere. They are shouting, and he is being introduced whenever someone asks the question, who is this? This is the Messiah. This is the prophet. This is Jesus from Nazareth. And they are all shouting, and they're shouting to God, and they're shouting hallelujahs, and they're praising him, and they are praising God. To the point that those who are in charge of the temple, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, think that this man should understand that he is drawing attention to himself. And no individual who is serving God in the way that he should be would be trying to draw attention to himself. And so they come to him and they say, "Tell the crowd to be quiet." And Jesus' response to them is, have you never read? If these are quiet, the rocks will shout out. This is the beginning of the week of his glory. And the beginning of the week when he will glorify God. He goes into the temple. When he goes into the temple, his anger boils over. And he drives out the money changers and turns over the tables and scatters the money everywhere. Drives the animals out and drives the individuals that are selling the money out. And he does it all with one expression of purpose and reason. It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. My house shall be a house of prayer. You've made it a place of profit for yourselves. And so he cleaned out the temple. He leaves for the night. The next day he comes back. He's hungry. And as he returns and hungry, he sees a fig tree full of leaf. And being the creator of the fig tree, he goes to the tree that is full of leaf, even though he knows full well it's not the season for figs. And because it's not the season for figs, neither is it the season for the tree to be in full leaf. Because the two come together on this fig tree. But he goes because the fig tree is saying, here I am, a fig tree, ready for you to have breakfast, ready for you to find figs, ready for you to have the fruit that you so desired. When he comes to the tree, there's no figs on it. And again, his anger. Because the fig tree is just like the temple. And the fig tree is just like the nation of Israel. And the fig tree is just like the city of Jerusalem. You declare yourself to be those who belong to God, but there is no fruit of it. There's no reality to your claim. There's no fruit. That's who you are. And so Jesus does not give this tree another chance. Does not say, I'll fertilize it for the next year and see if it changes. This is the last week of his life. And so turning to the fig tree, he says, nobody will ever eat figs off of you again. And the fig tree withers and it dies. He comes back into the city and he's met by those who are in charge of the temple and they question him. They want to know, by what authority are you doing these things? And Jesus says to them, well, I'll ask you one question. And you answer my question and I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. So he says to them, the baptism of John, where did it come from? What was the authority behind the baptism of John? Was it from man or is it from heaven? They knew they were in trouble. So they huddled up. They talked to each other about what to do and what to say because they understood the problem. If we say it's from heaven, then he's going to ask us, then why weren't you baptized by him? Why didn't you allow John to baptize you? But if we say it was from men, we're afraid of the mob because they all think he's a prophet. And we're afraid of what the mob will do to us. So they make up their mind and they come to Jesus and they say to him, we don't know. We're not able to answer your question. And Jesus said, then neither will I answer your question to me. But think about this, he says to them. A certain man had two boys. He came to the first of his two sons, and he said to him, go work in my vineyard today. And his son says to him, I will not. And he comes to the younger son. And he says to him, go work in my vineyard today. And the younger son says, I will do it. But he never goes. The first son who said, I will not go, thinks about what he said, thinks about his father, thinks about what his father wants, and he goes and he works in the vineyard. So Jesus asked them, which of the two boys did what the father wanted? And they said, the one that went and worked in the vineyard. I think we can ask more questions. Which of the sons felt like he was the most righteous? Which of the sons felt like he was the one who was most honoring his father? The one who very quickly said, I will go. We have no idea what happened, what events came up, what invitations he received, what other things to do dawned on him that caused him never to go. But it doesn't seem to be hatred and animosity toward his father. The bottom line is, he never did what the father wanted. The other one said no. Then he changed his mind. Because this was his father. And his father had asked him to do something. So he went and did it. And those that were having this discussion with them about where does your authority come from, had no problem understanding what this story was about. They had no problem answering. The one who did what the father said, that's the one who did his father's will. That's what God's looking for. The one who does the father's will. Still, they didn't get it. They didn't get that this was a story about them. They were the son that said, "We will go." But they never went. They were in the temple. And they were saying, "We will do the Father's bidding." But they never did. And here they are, face to face with Jesus. And they can't stand him. And they're ready to kill him. He knows all of that. And he's about to make them very angry. So he tells them another story. There was a man who had a vineyard. He bought it. He built it. He planted it. He built a wall around it. He made a wine press. He did everything that he needed to do in order to have a very productive vineyard to make the wine that he wanted to make. But then he decided he would rent the property out to certain tenants. And he would go away into another land and allow the tenants to run the property for him. And so he does that. The tenants came in and they ran the property. And after time had passed, the man who owned the vineyard and the man who had built it decided, "I'll send my servant back so that I can get the profits that are due to me and coming to me from the vineyard." So he sends a servant back. Matter of fact, he sends more than one. He sends them at intervals. Sends them at different times. Sends several at one time. And when those tenants see those servants coming, they beat one of them up. They kill one. They stone one. They shame the others and send them away, but they pay absolutely no attention to them. And the man who owns this vineyard sees all of this happening to his servants. And he finally decides, "I'll send my son. They'll honor my son." So he sent the son. And when they saw him coming, they said, "This is the heir. Let's kill him, and the vineyard will be ours." And Jesus raised the question to those that were listening. What do you think the man who built that vineyard will do when they have killed his son and he comes back to his vineyard? All of them very quickly said, "He'll destroy those miserable wretches. He'll get rid of every single one of those miserable wretches." And then Jesus asked them another question. "Have you never read that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven is going to be taken away from you, and it's going to be those given to those who belong to it. This stone that you have rejected, if it falls on you, it'll destroy you. If you fall on it, it'll break you to pieces in submission and in surrender." They knew he was talking about them. And the hatred they had for him welled up inside of them to where they wanted to kill him on the spot. And then he tells another story. He's not letting up. He's not quitting. This is his last week on the earth. He has one last chance to get through personally with these people. So he tells another story. A man held a banquet. He had sent out invitations in advance a long time ago. Everybody who had received the invitations was excited about coming. Couldn't wait for the day of the wedding. And finally, the wedding banquet was ready. And he sent out all of his servants telling everybody that was invited, the wedding feast is ready. Come to the feast. And every single one of them started making excuses. Oh, I can't do it today. I've got this and that to do. I've got this to do. I've bought this. I've got to go check on it. All of these different things, I can't make it. And the man who prepared the feast became so angry, he said to his servants, nobody that was invited is going to come. I want you to go out into the streets and invite everybody you see and fill this house with wedding guests. So they do. And the house is full. And when the man who is in charge of the feast comes into the house, he sees a man who stands out like a sore thumb. He stands out like a sore thumb because he doesn't have on wedding garments. He came to this feast improperly dressed, not prepared, not ready. And the master walks straight up to this man and says to him, how did you get in here without having wedding garments on? And the man was speechless because he had no excuse. It wasn't because he couldn't afford it. Evidently, those wedding garments may have even been furnished. It wasn't because he didn't have them. It wasn't because he didn't know. He just didn't do it. He just didn't think it was important. So he never put on his wedding garment. And Jesus said, throw this man out. He will not take part in my wedding banquet. And they threw the man out, and he didn't take part. Still, they're not done with him. And a group of them come to him, and they want to entrap him. And they want to entrap him by asking him a question. And first, they want to flatter him. Jesus, we know you know everything. You always speak the truth. So we want to know from you, is it really right for us to pay this tribute to Caesar? Jesus is so frustrated because he knows exactly what they're doing. And he tells them, how long are you guys going to keep doing this, trying to entrap me? Give me a coin. Let me see the coin you would have to pay in the taxes. And he holds the coin in his hand and he asks the question, whose image is this? Whose likeness is this? And they say, it's Caesar's image. Because Caesar's the one who made the coin. Caesar's the one who planted the image on the coin. And Jesus simply says, then you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But you give to God what belongs to God. If you don't catch the meaning that the Jews would have quickly caught, all you have to do is think about the very first chapter of the book of Genesis. Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our likeness. And Jesus, in this first 2 days of his last week, how long are you going to keep doing what you want to do before you start paying attention to what God wants you to do? How long are you going to live your life the way you want to live it because it's your life, rather than realizing that your life is God's, and honor Him with it, and honor Him with what you are doing? These are His last words, some of them. It's the way He starts the week, and He doesn't let up as He goes through the rest of the week. He's trying to get their attention. trying to get them to understand who they are and what they're all about. And he has something to say. And so he says it. We would do well to pay attention to his words, not only in this last week, but in everything that he says. If you put on Christ, if you've been baptized into him, if you put on those wedding garments, are you walking with him? Do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.